Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo $1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
You may or may not be a good Sports Grid listener.
Test yourself.
If you've ever taken a hoof to the head prying a shoe off a horse, you may not be a good Sports Grid listener. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Pro football full circle.
Bengals have three receivers left and one out to the right. Burrow in the gun on third and two. He'll look to pass. Quick throw. Nice. Slant caught by Chase. Runs to the 30.
Nice.
Breaks
go.
Out of the pass.
Go, Jamar.
He's sprinting down the middle of the
You're
field.
Gone,
the Ravens 40.
See
pulling
you.
Away at the 30. 20. 10. Touchdown.
Ooh,
how great is Jamar Chase?
Ooh,
82
man.
Yards to the house.
And now I'll tell you what, the linebacker decided to just give up Chase. I'm not going to chase Chase.
How great is Pro Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 204. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel kicking it around, getting you prepared for NFL week number 8. Some news and notes around the NFL. Alan Lazard, Green Bay Packers wide receiver, he's out, or at least on the COVID list, against Thursday night's game this coming Thursday against the Arizona Cardinals. Linebacker defensive end Khalil Mack out versus the 49ers this coming Sunday. But news surrounding Deshaun Watson, Scott, we heard Roger Goodell come out and say that they don't have enough information surrounding Watson. We also heard the Panthers come out this week and say that they're not interested in dealing for the potential starter out there in Carolina. I mean, pretty intriguing circumstances when you just think about, you know, the off-the-field situation with Deshaun and where the NFL stands right now, saying that they still don't have enough information. I mean, it's been about 6 months already.
Yeah, I mean, how much more information do you need? You got the accusations, and in the world of the NFL, that's generally enough, Joe. I mean, you know, they suspended Ray Rice, you know, way back when, without any kind of seriousness as far as the, you know, the going to courts and then legalities, and he even had the wife defending him, and they still were able to suspend him. So we've seen the NFL time and time and time again step in and say, you know what, we don't have to wait for the courts. We know enough to know that he deserves to get suspended because he broke rules, whether it was a legal thing or not. So I'm very surprised on it. I don't know if they would, you know, wave their white hand on this and just say move on, or you know, it's funny, Carolina, they sent out a story the other day saying that they were interested. Now they send out a story saying they're not interested. A lot of times that's because the Yankees used to do this way back when. I remember, Joe, they would propose trades and they would leak it to the media, and then, you know, the sports talk shows and everybody would talk all about it, and they'd get fan reaction. And if the fan reaction was positive, they'd make the trade. If the fan reaction was negative, they wouldn't make the trade. And I don't doubt that maybe that's what happened with Carolina. Maybe they leaked the story saying they're interested and got some fan reaction, and then maybe down in Carolina people were like, no, we don't want this guy. And so now Carolina all of a sudden says no, because stories like this don't come up out of the blue. They don't, you know, get made out of the blue. These are teams and agents leaking these stories on purpose. You know, some insider is not dealing with the secretary and finding a, you know, a letter saying, oh, we're making a call to the Houston Texans. They leaked these stories on purpose. So maybe that's what happened. Maybe Carolina found a bad reaction from the fan base.
You're talking about a risk reward. I mean, if it goes wrong, it's severely going to go wrong. Whichever team does deal for Deshaun Watson, and if they don't do their due diligence in terms of the situation, I mean, they're going to be put back for years, not just from the fan reaction, but just in terms of anteing up to get Deshaun Watson. I mean, we heard that Philadelphia would potentially put up three first rounders to have him there, you know, and move on from Jalen Hurts at that point. We've heard about our Miami Dolphins. What would they give up in return for Deshaun Watson? I mean, if it goes wrong, it's going to go wrong. It's going to set your franchise back. And then on top of that, then you have the fan reaction that you're going to have to deal with. So the owner needs to be behind this move 100%. And that's why I think when you look at our Miami Dolphins right now, I mean, we hear Brian Flores come out and say that Tua is the guy. But this is above Brian Flores. This is right now, yeah. I think, in terms of Ross's hands, he's really navigating this situation and saying, you know what? I really don't care. Pro, con, I'm willing to deal for this guy because he makes our franchise that much better.
Well, I did see a report saying that the Dolphins and Texans agreed in principle on a trade as far as the components. They didn't say what those components were, but they did agree, and now it's just Miami and Houston, for that matter, waiting to see, you know, the repercussions of, you know, whatever happens to Watson. But, you know, that may be another 6 months from now. You know, this is not going to end anytime soon, it doesn't appear, so, you know. But I mean, I'm curious to know, you know, if they agreed actually on the trade, what the trade would be, and would that stop another team from jumping in? But I did see that on one of the stories yesterday, that they supposedly agreed.
Yeah, I mean, Miami season's over. I think we're in agreement. After that loss last week to Atlanta, they're 13.5-point dogs already to the Buffalo Bills. We already know that we can't dominate Buffalo. Look at that game at the end of the regular season. Isaiah McKenzie is still running in terms of torching our defense. I mean, where do we go from here? Do we just strip it down if we're Dolphin fans and then just work on? Or do we move on from Brian Flores as well? Because I actually like him, but you look at this performance this year, it isn't the offense, it's the defensive side of the ball that we have major question marks.
Yeah, you know, the defense last year was actually halfway decent, right? And it carried the club, and this year it's been awful. I mean, just awful. You know, you may want to keep him, but, you know, Greer, the GM, is the one that's got to go. And he's been within that organization a long time. He's had a lot of influence. And I got to tell you, you can count on one hand how many guys that he's drafted or been part of the draft that are still with that club. I mean, every good guy they got is gone because they didn't want to stay there. And then every bad guy they drafted is obviously gone because he stunk. There's not a whole lot there when you look at Greer his resume as far as drafting is concerned.
To think the Miami Dolphins last year were 10-6 overall. They have the same record as the New York Jets heading into week number 8. Very disappointing for Dolphin fans. When we come back, we'll break down Carolina and Atlanta. Keep it here. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, breaking down NFL week number 8. We talked a little bit about the Miami Dolphins, that situation going up against the Buffalo Bills. Bad matchup. I mean, Bills coming off a Monday night loss, bye week. Tua and the crew go on the road. I mean, we just know the history of Miami. Forget the cold weather. Just going up to Buffalo in recent years hasn't been really good for Miami Dolphin backers. But I do want to look at this battle in Atlanta. Scott, if I would have told you after the 3 weeks of the season where Carolina was 3-0, that Atlanta would be playing better football right here entering week number 8 with Matty Ice, Kyle Pitts, and that defense opportunistic last week forcing two interceptions against Tua, would you have believed it after the Panthers started 3-0?
No, although I never really bought into their 3-0. Who they beat? The Giants, the Jets, and I think it was Jacksonville, one other really bad team. They beat, you know, between them and Denver both. They both benefit from a really easy schedule. And I'm not a believer in Sam Darnold, so I'm not that surprised. And I actually thought the Falcons were going to be better this year. But then, you know, watching them play the first few weeks, it was like, oh, my God, this team sucks. So, but they've been, you know, they've turned it around and you know, they've actually won a couple of close games that over the recent past, they've been losing all these close games, but they've actually won a couple of them. So they're 3-3, they're back in the thick of things. And I think Carolina, without McCaffrey and with Sam Darnold being there, benched this past week in the fourth quarter for PJ Walker, they're in a lot of trouble. Atlanta, I think, is going to win this game. I'm surprised the line is as low as it is, only 2.5, Joe.
See, now, the only reason why I give Carolina a shot here is I think their front seven will be able to get pressure on Matt Ryan, where Miami wasn't able to. I mean, he sat back there. He was surveying the field. He had about 4 seconds on almost every throw. It was like, could we get to him already? It was amazing. Kyle Pitts down the left sideline, 50-yard bomb. I mean, the amount of, you know, windows that he was fitting balls into Sunday afternoon against Miami were incredible. I mean, blanketed wide receivers. And somehow, some way, Pitts was making the catch and he was throwing dimes against Miami. But that being said, I feel like the front seven of Carolina on the road, fast track, they can get some pressure. They can force some turnovers. And I'm still not sold on this Atlanta running game. I know they got Mike Davis that they traded for from Carolina. But when Cordarrelle Patterson is your leading rusher on the team, I mean, this guy's 100 years old, too. I mean, I feel like a great kick off returner in his day. But at the end of the day, if this is your best running back, you have problems as an NFL organization.
They do. They definitely do. But I tell you, you know, anyone, with Chase, we talked about a little bit yesterday, anyone doubting that, Cincinnati shouldn't have taken Jamar Chase is crazy. And then same thing with Pitts. He made a couple plays Sunday against the Dolphins, that one-handed catch down the sidelines when he was getting pass interfered with as well. I mean, he's, you know, they're using him as a wide receiver like they figured they would. He's definitely dynamic. So I still think they're better than the Panthers. Matty Ice, one last go-round, I suppose, for him and his crew there. Before they bounce him out, get Atlanta at home. It's always a good rivalry between these two, you know, proximity-wise and everything else. But I still like the Falcons with the line, the D-line, and all that. Now listen, if they couldn't cause havoc on Daniel Jones, who's, you know, a turnover waiting to happen, then, I'm not going to give them credit for being able to get to what's-his-face, Matt Ryan.
Yeah, now think about this. I was on the over in Atlanta, Miami. Now, Carolina, I mean, they went over 2 weeks ago against Minnesota. That game went into overtime. Remember Sam Darnold? Yeah. That 96-yard drive, which I still can't believe. He led them on a 96-yard drive, 1 minute left against Minnesota. But this total is odd, 46. It's a fast track. It's actually juiced to the under at -114 on FanDuel. The only way I feel, because, I mean, Sam Darnold, 7 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. He only locks in on DJ Moore. That's the only receiver he looks at. Outside of that, he does not distribute the football. So they're going to need the running game with Chuba Hubbard. So I would think that if you're Carolina, you want to run the football, you want to sustain drives, and you want to actually play for field goals in that methodical blue-collar game that they were trying to get Daniel Jones into last week on the road in Atlanta. That's why I would favor the under here.
Yeah, you've seen scoring pick up a little bit, but I tell you, it's generally every week more unders than overs, so you're not far off on that. You know, it's 46, Carolina can't score. They couldn't score against the Giants, 3 lousy points. You know, first drive, they got 3 points, and that was it. But you got to figure they're going to bounce back some, right? And you got Tua throwing for 4 touchdowns, almost 300 yards. You know, if Tua can do that, you got to figure Darnold will be able to do something like that, you know, and then the Falcon offense. I don't got a good read. I don't get a good sense. You know, push comes to shove, I probably would go under as well just because it's Carolina's defense. But indoors, turf, Falcon offense being picked up a little bit. Not a good read on that, but I do like Atlanta. I got to see the Panthers go in there and win that football game.
Yeah, it's a little early in the week, but I would still lean to Carolina. I'll give my best bets on Friday. We'll get yours as well as the week progresses. But before we turn our attention to Philadelphia and Detroit, Scotty, remember last week we brought up some weekly specials, highest scoring team on FanDuel. You were taking the New England Patriots, you were at least getting, I believe, 50 to 60 to 1. In terms of that, can you imagine? $100, you win $6,000 on New England. The two top teams last week were Tennessee and Kansas City. Didn't even come close with a total of 30. But because their total was set at 57.5, that's why they were the front runners, right? So you look for value. I'm going to throw some weekly specials on FanDuel at. Any Sunday game to go into overtime this weekend, -175. Do you like that?
-175 for yes or -175 for no?
No, it's a yes. That one of the games this weekend will go into overtime. You're laying almost 2-1.
I don't think that's good. You know, I will tell you this. I did read. I meant to go back and double check. But I read where this past weekend was the first time we didn't have a game go to overtime all year. So that's probably why you're laying the 175. But I got to tell you, you know, the chances are with the buys now, so you don't got, you know, 16, you don't have 16 games. So, you know, 14 games, 13 games, depending on how many teams are on buys this week, 4 or 6. I would say no to that. I don't, you know, if you could bet a no, I would. I don't know if they give you the option. It doesn't look like they give you the option. It's only the option of yes.
Yep, yeah, -175.
I'm not laying a +75. No way. Yeah, no way.
Way too cheap. Way too expensive for Scotty. I'll take the buffet, please. I'll take the buffet. $5.99, all the eggs and bacon you can eat, baby.
Yeah. Where's the Denny's around here? Where's the Denny's, you know?
How about this one? Because I think this one's pretty interesting because we're going to get into this game. Jalen Hurts to record a rushing touchdown and 50 rushing yards plus 250 up against the Detroit Lions this week.
Now, that's not bad. I would like to know, though, what his odds are to score a touchdown because he's going to get 50 yards rushing. You know, his prop is generally a little bit over that. So if you're giving me a prop that's right around where it should be and a prop of scoring a touchdown and I'm only getting 250, well, if I just parlay those two, and FanDuel, God bless them, allows you to parlay props, I got a feeling it would be higher than the plus 250, you know, if you parlay to Hurts touchdown and Hurts over 50 yards rushing. So double check on some of these. Some of these look like really, you know, enticing. But then if you really break it down, it's like, well, wait a minute, I might as well just parlay Hurts to get his over yards in rushing and a touchdown, and I'm getting more. They're not really giving me a bonus here.
Right. Finally, the last one. Arizona, 6.5-point favorites now with Alan Lazard now on the COVID list. He's not vaccinated, so he will not play this week, this Thursday, excuse me, against Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. One less weapon for Aaron Rodgers. We still have to find out about Devontae Adams, but Kyler Murray to toss 4+ touchdowns, 3-1, Scotty.
Oof. I don't think it's going to be a shootout, so I would go. I wouldn't do that. 3-1 is not, you know, 5-1. Now you're talking 3-1. No, I think this has got 24-14 written all over it, not 44-14.
We wet the palate a little bit with the weekly specials. When we come back, we'll get into game analysis. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel right here on the
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ball full circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Ripping through the weekly specials on FanDuel, looking for value. Joe Lisi, Scott Wetzel breaking down game capsules. Before we get into highest scoring games, Scotty's got a little bit of a, you have a special for us this week, don't you? You've been going through the annals, you've been looking for value, you got your microscope ready, you're like a scientist.
Yes, delving in, you know, dissecting the cells and everything else, DNA. I can find DNA here.
God help that lab.
Yeah. I can find DNA here, but they can't find it down in Florida with the moping in the woods. Anyway, I digress there. So, will the Lions go 0-17, Joe? And FanDuel, you get them at 8-1 if you think they will go winless, 0-17. Now, I bring it up because they take on Philadelphia. They're only 3.5-point home underdogs. I'm looking at the rest of their schedule, Joe, and this is, I think, I won't say by far, but this is their best chance of winning a game. You know, they got at Pittsburgh, at Cleveland. Chances are they're not winning those games. They got Cleveland and Minnesota, albeit at home. You know, they should be competitive. One of those games is Thanksgiving Day, and they never win on Thanksgiving. Then they play at Denver. Don't know what the Denver's going to be like. Arizona's going to be tough. At Atlanta, you know, that's winnable. Then at Seattle, and then Green Bay to close out the year. So, right. You know, there's no Jacksonville on there. Houston on there. There's no New York Jets on there. No New York Giants on there. No Miami Dolphins on there. You know, it's They got a couple of games that they could win after this week, but this would, to me, again, at home against a bad Philadelphia team, which I still don't understand why Philadelphia was bet down to pick them against the Raiders on Sunday.
I think I know why. I think because after they won against Denver, it was like, Okay, now without John Gruden and without maybe a consistent staff or maybe people with their foot out the door checked out, they wouldn't back it up at home. I think that's what you would, and I feel like Philadelphia is another public team. They love Jalen.
Yeah, right.
Oh, let's back Jalen Hurts at any given moment because they believe he's as explosive as Kyler Murray. The problem is that that defense is terrible. That defense is horrible, and you hear Fletcher Cox open his mouth, Scott. I mean, at the end of the day, shut up. I mean, you're nowhere near the type of player that you were when you beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. And they think they have like a top 10 defense in Philly.
They don't. What with Derek Carr, three incompletions, three or four incompletions? I mean, every drive was up and down the field. If not for a turnover inside the 5-yard line, they would have scored 7 more points. I mean, they were not stopping the Raiders. This team is not good. You know, they've had a nice little comeback against Tampa Bay, but realistically, they were getting blown out in that football game. So I don't know why they're a 3.5-point favorite, but point is, if they can find a way to beat the Lions, and if the Lions lose, obviously, this week, then, you know, they're going to be an underdog, I would think, in every game. So, you know, 8-1 is probably not great odds. Honestly, if you took, let's just say it's $100. You want to bet $100 to win 800, right? If you took that same 100 and bet it against the Lions on the money line and took your profits and rolled it over, it probably would amount to more than 800. But who's got the patience to do that? It's just as easy. You know, you pay for convenience with a lot of these props. Whereas if you really, like you said, if you did do that, you'd probably make a lot more than 8-1 when everything is said and done. But ultimately, will the Lions ever win? I don't know. They might not. Dan Campbell may get fired after 1 year. I wouldn't be surprised at all. He's not changed the culture. I mean, it's the same old bumbling, stumbling Lions, right? I mean, you find ways to lose
like
games.
I do like them on Thanksgiving Day. Who do they have on? Because last year, Deshaun Watson ripped them on Thanksgiving Day. And he threw for, like, I believe 3-8. I mean, he basically had 5 incompletions in that game. To think that Houston, knowing where Houston is now without their star player, they ripped them in that ball game. It was a dead over. You never were in doubt in terms of that ball game. But they play the Bills, you said?
Bears.
They're going to cover that game.
I don't know. They never win on Thanksgiving. Man, people
against
think
the Bears,
Lions always
though?
Play well.
Matt Nagy, he's horrible. I mean, he's another one, too. Don't get me started about him.
Fighting for a playoff spot, though, at that point, where the Lions will be dead. You think the Lions fans, you think the Lions on Thanksgiving Day, when they're 1-11, are going to want to, you know, go play a football game? I don't think so.
We have to see. I sort of like the Lions in this ball game against Philly. Back-to-back road games for Philly.
Right. That I can see.
Plus 158 on the money line, that might be appealing to me. I have to break it down. I mean, I liked them last week. Liked them 2 weeks ago against Cincinnati. I thought they caught 3.5 to Joe Burrow, and Cincinnati got blown out in that ball game. But obviously, with Philly's defense, if Goff is focused, maybe he can move the football. I did want to jump into the highest scoring game. The highest scoring game on FanDuel is the Sunday nighter between Minnesota and Dallas, 55. It's plus 470 on FanDuel as a weekly special. Dallas is 2.5-point favorites. I'll tell you this right now. Love Minnesota. They lost this ball game last year at home. I don't think they lose this ball game. I know Dallas playing very well. I think their offense rips them. Minnesota goes through Dallas's defense like a knife through butter Sunday night.
How about our beloved Dolphins and Bills? You know, the Bills are good for 40 points. You know, Dolphins with Tua might, you know, get some
garbage time points,
60. How many points do you think it'll be? Forget the game. What are we aiming for? Like 75 to 80 you think will be the winner?
Oh, well, this week it was the Jets. The Jets put up 14, right? They got 56.
Yeah, 13, so 14, 57, 70. Yeah.
And I picked at the start of the week last week it would be the Dolphins and Atlanta. They got 58. I think realistically we're looking at like 60. If you could get a, if we can get 60, 62 in that area, I think that, I mean, forget it. You get 70, you're done. I mean,
right.
You think Dallas and Minnesota are going to score in the 70s? That's
See, I'm trying to find a team that could put 50 on the board like the Patriots did. And I don't know if we necessarily have that this year, this week. You know, so you're 60, you know, Colts defense is pretty darn good, but Tennessee and the Colts, maybe? Division game, though?
Yeah, it's a division
are the Rams,
game.
Rams Cincinnati? Gonna beat up Houston?
I mean, I like the Jets with the 10.5, but could Joe Buck back-to-back games put up a 40 spot on the Jets after that pitiful? You would have to think, right, the coaching staff is going to rip into the defense this week and say, you know, there's no way you could allow 54 points.
Right. Yeah, even Buffalo or even Houston played well the game after they got annihilated. Then they nearly beat the Patriots. Yeah, this is like a difficult spot for the Bengals. Third straight road game, huge letdown, right? I mean, just a monster letdown game after beating Baltimore. That one kind of scares me, believe it or not. How about the Tampa Rams? Bay and the Saints?
How about the Rams and Texans?
Yeah, the Texans at home with Davis Mills playing better at home. You know, you got to figure the Rams are good for 30-plus, 35. You know, you get to 20, 55, you know.
Well, maybe, just maybe, Philly in the game we just discussed, Detroit, 11-1.
11-1.
I mean, Philadelphia, I mean, what defense does Detroit have? They had an emotional game with Goff going back home. They're basically
That's
winning the first
not bad.
Half. You know, 11-1 would be if I had to pick this game right now, I would go into the 11-1 range, and this is on FanDuel as the highest scoring game. Doesn't take into account the Thursday nighter between Green Bay and Arizona. Only Sunday, and Philly Detroit at 11-1 as the highest scoring game. That total is right in the area of about 48. I mean, there's no way Jacksonville and Seattle. Geno Smith looks terrible. And by the way, Pete Carroll comes out last night and says, we're looking for Geno to lead this offense and have more consistency. Oh, really, Pete? Great job. Really? You want to run 90% of the time. I mean, you had one throw vertically, came in the first drive to DK Metcalf. After that, you didn't want to put the ball in the air, not once, outside the hashes. Everything was 5 yards, 2 yards, 3 yards. Unbelievable.
Lions, by the way, 14-3-1 over at home. That's actually not bad, Joe. That's actually not, you know, with that Eagle defense being as bad as it is, Lions being at home, Lions defense being as bad as it is, you know, and Hurts being able to move the ball a little bit running around, that 11-1, that might be the one. That I can see being a shootout.
So let's talk about this quickly. So if we take $100, right, and we're put, let's say, $50 on the favorite, Dallas and Minnesota at 4-1, Right. 4.7 roughly, right? Almost 5-1. You're going to get back 250 roughly, right? Or if we take it on Philly and Detroit, you're getting back 550 on a 50, right? So you split it up in terms of those two. I like both of those if you're talking about a $100 bet, right?
Right. That's not bad.
No,
I do like. I think the one the Dolphins Bills is the only other one that kind of like jumps off the page for me, just because I think Buffalo can put 40 on the board at home.
You think so? You think they're going to put 40 on Miami?
Well, they put 40 on Miami earlier this week, right?
I know, and Miami could be just mailing it in at this point. Xavier Howard wants out before the trade deadline. He sees the team's not going anywhere. Do they ship him? Why? I mean, if you're in Miami, you got to get something in return, though, right?
Yeah. Here's the Bills' totals this year outside of the Steeler game. 35 against the Dolphins, and that was 35-0. They called off the Dogs. 43, 40-0, 38, and 31 against the Titans. So they're going to get 35 to 40 points. Can the Dolphins put a few points on the board?
On the road. Could Waddle step up? You know they're not going to be able. The only problem is that Miami's going to be one-dimensional, Scott, and we could talk about this on the back end. They're not going to be able to run on the front seven of the Buffalo Bills, but it's a discussion. When Scott and I come back, we'll be breaking down highest-scoring team and Week 8 games. Keep a word.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Hey, hey, breaking down NFL week number 8. We've been breaking down game capsules, talking a little bit about the highest scoring game, highest scoring team, potentially. They do have on FanDuel the front runner for this week, Sunday only. Buffalo, like you mentioned, Scott, to beat down our Miami Dolphins. They're plus 650 as the front runner. Now, I will say last week, the front runner was either, it was Kansas City. They were 4-point favorites over Tennessee. That didn't even come close if you wanted to take a shot with Kansas City last week. I can't believe, and the one team that I am shocked about, is Los Angeles. The Chargers are 5.5-point favorites over the Patriots in a rematch from last year where they got shut out 45-0. They're 11-1 at plus 1,100 to be the highest scoring team in week number 8. That's a little shocking to me.
And the game itself is third on the list for FanDuel, plus 750. You know, yeah, I don't see them, you know, running and passing all over the Patriot defense, right? I mean, they couldn't last year. Things aren't going to change that much this year, right? I mean, and that's a little strange why they would give them so much love for being a high-scoring game and even a high-scoring team. What are they going to put 30 on the board? Are they going to throw the football 40 times and then put 40 plus on the board against the Patriots? I mean, I kind of doubt that. That's a little weird.
Well, it is weird in the sense that if you look at New England compared to, right, in terms of the game, they have
New England's always the bottom.
32-1. So yeah. I guess they're just going to revert back to form on the road is basically what the algorithms are saying in terms of this ball game. I mean, they put up 45. Now, granted, they did block a field goal. They returned that for a touchdown last year. But ran, they threw it. It didn't matter what they did. That Chargers defense had no answer for the New England Patriots. It is pretty interesting in that regard, 32-1. I mean, heck. You could take another shot. I mean, if you feel that game's going to be the highest scoring, and we're talking about just basically a $100 bet, put 50 on the Chargers, but put 50 on New England to win back-to-back weeks. You win 1,500 if the Patriots come through in this ball.
Right. That's what I did last week with Kansas City and Tennessee. I figured that would be the high scoring one, so I put it, split it half and half on KC and Tennessee, not worrying about who's going to win the game. So, and that's the thing with some of these flyer teams. You got to realize, I know it's obvious, but, you know, sometimes even the obvious you have to be told. They got to win the game. You know, if you want to take a flyer, the Dolphins, you know, and Tua is throwing all over the place and this and that. Well, they actually have to win the game because, you know, if they lost the game, that means the other team scored more points. So you got to find a team that's going to win, and then, you know, what are they going to win by? So with the Lions, if you think the Eagles and Lions are going to be a high-scoring game, how about the Lions at 28-1? Is this the magic week
for them?
And the
Eagles at 21-1. I was just thinking the same thing. Split it on both. If that's what we're keying and the total's 48, Goff has got to give us something in this ball game.
Has to. Yeah.
I mean, if Campbell comes out and he's predictable and he wants to run the football, we're dead in the water, right? So first quarter would potentially tell us if we have a shot in this ball game. If Goff comes out, the only problem though, Scott, is Hockenson's been banged up. Outside of Hockenson, they really don't have a legitimate deep threat. If they did, they would be able to score more points than they did against the Rams. They moved the football between the 30s. They only had to settle on field goals. That was the problem last week.
Yeah. They actually can run the ball better than they can throw the ball. But the Eagles' defense, you know, when you watch Derek Carr throw for, 300 yards plus and three or four incompletions the entire game. You know, it's hard not to go into a game against the Eagles saying that we're going to run versus we're going to throw. I mean, you want to throw, but if you don't have any wide receivers to throw to, you know, Goff's, you know, his starting status may be on the line this game as well. So I think the Lions find a way to get it done this week.
I think that is the highest scoring total this week.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
And you know they'll never call off the dogs, right? You know they never, you know, with their defense and their propensity to blow games, you know, up two scores in the fourth quarter, they're still going to try and score. So,
right. I agree with that. I think it's a fast track in a dome. Why not?
Yep.
Movement on the Jet game. more money coming in on Joe Burrow and Broadway Joe and the Bengals here with Zach Taylor. I mean, the line opened up at the start of the week, 9.5. It's up to 11.5 now, -105. I mean, more money coming in on the Bengals here. No confidence in the New York Jets. I mean, I said it yesterday. The fact that this spread was under the key number of 10, that was a head-scratcher to me. I know it's the Bengals, but still. Now they push it right up. Jets might be getting 13 points by the time this game starts Sunday.
They might. You know, if they announce that it's going to be White and not Flacco, and I don't think it'll be Flacco. I can't imagine him, you know, going back. If it was the same offensive coordinator and everything, it would be different. But this is not the same offensive coordinator, even though I guess he worked with him when he was in Denver. But still, that would be a tough spot to throw him in there and start like that. So if it's going to be White and not Josh Johnson, I could see it going even higher, yeah. The only thing is, like I said, third straight road game for the Bengals. I don't generally mind that. I know most people do. I will tell you, Saints and Colts were in similar spots this year already. They're 1-1, and really it should be 2-0. The Colts blew the game against the Ravens. But they're both, you know, they're 2-0 against the spread, you know, in that spot. And over the years, it's actually been right around 500, like most things with the boys in Vegas. It's not, you know, third straight road game. They're going to get killed every single game. That's it's not been the case. It's been basically, against the spread anyway, it's been basically 500, if not even more so towards the team that's in the third straight road game. So
yeah, interesting. We'll see how that game plays out. I do want to talk about a game we haven't brought up. Vic Fangio. Good old Vic, huh? The offensive genius that he is, he can run that plane right into the ground, and no matter who his quarterback is, they are three-point favorites over the Washington football team. I thought Washington would be a live dog. Actually took them +9.5, had to back that up in terms of an in-game perspective. I took them +16.5 when they were down by double digits against Aaron Rodgers. Thank God for that. Multiple opportunities on the road, but it is back-to-back road games for the Washington football team. Total is set on FanDuel, 43.5 -110 either way. Do you believe in Vic Fangio? Because, I mean, to me, he's a horrible head coach. A good defensive coordinator, but at the end of the day, he can't coach this team up, no matter who his quarterback is. A dead under when they play Cleveland. I mean, and Washington can't stop anybody through the air. I mean, they get abused each and every game. Where's that front seven? So I sort of like the total, but I'm going to take my shot with Taylor Heinicke over the home team here. I'm not sold on the Broncos in this spot.
Now, I can tell you, every time I've turned on Washington, Green Bay, Washington had the football, and they had it, you know, driving inside Green Bay territory, and I'd watch the drive, and then they would screw up one way or the other, whether it was turning the ball over on downs, whether it was the Heinicke fumbles, the Heinicke interceptions. I mean, every single time, it's just like, how is this team not scoring touchdowns or at least field goals? They found every which way to piss away a game last week. Does that happen 2 in a row? I don't know. They're one of the more disappointing teams, right? I think a lot of people thought with Fitzpatrick going there, you know, they were going to take that next step. Their defense was so solid over the last 2 months of the season last year, and it's just their defense has been nothing short of horrible this year, Joe. I don't know. I would go with the over. It's tough to go over on a Denver game because they are a predominantly under team, no matter what the total is, even this low. But, you know, I think Washington's second straight road game maybe loosen up a little bit, do or die for them, and maybe they start throwing the ball a little bit better. Maybe they complete some of the drives that they didn't complete last week against Green Bay. So,
well, I'll
say Denver, though, at home.
You think the hype is over with Ron Rivera now, year two? I mean, the fact that he gets there, he wins the division at 7-9, it was a feel-good story, and rightfully so. Happy that he overcame cancer, and he was able to lead his team, but... but there's no foundation. I mean, they have good players, but they're regressing already in year number two. And at the end of the day, it's not all on the quarterback. It's the fundamentals that obviously you built this team on last year. Solid offensive line. You have Antonio Gibson. You have Logan Thomas. Granted, he's hurt now. You know, he got hurt in week number three, but that offensive line has taken a step back. The defensive front can't stop anybody. Chase Young, where's that dominant defensive
Invisible.
Front?
Yeah.
Invisible. And their secondary, if that front seven doesn't get pressure, they get abused. I mean, Landon Collins, that's why the Giants got rid of him. He couldn't cover anybody. And, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, Mahomes abuses them. Doesn't matter who they face. So when you look at this ball game on the road in Mile High, I mean, if they lose this game, what do you do in terms of this team moving forward? Because people were ecstatic that they had Ryan Fitzpatrick there.
Yeah, they thought that was going to be the final answer to it all. I mean, it kind of made sense from what they were doing last year, right? They got a pretty good running back. When you really think about it, they got, you know, as you mentioned, pretty good running back in Gibson, you know, pretty good wide receiver McKissick, pretty good tight end in Logan Thomas, theoretically a pretty good defense. You know, all it was the quarterback, and they thought the Fitzmagic and all the things he did with Miami was going to transfer over to Washington. And I kept on telling people, listen, there's a reason why this guy's been in the league 20 years and has never made the postseason. I mean, don't take four or five games with the Dolphins and you know, great fortune and turn him all of a sudden into Joe Montana. That's not the case. And as it turned out, he gets hurt anyway. So I thought Taylor Heinicke would be a little bit better, to tell you the truth. But they're just not a good football team. What a mess, though. You know, you think the Dolphins organization is crappy, or the Jets organization, and you got the owner of the Jets telling the world that he still believes in his head coach. He's six games in to his first year, and he's got to give the head coach a vote of confidence. I'm like, are you serious? You know, but the Washington foot situation, I mean, they don't got cheerleaders anymore. They don't got a nickname anymore. They got an owner that's in who knows what's going on with Daniel Snyder. They got the GM they had to kick out because of the scandal behind the scenes. Poor coach, you know, is dealing with cancer. Oh, what a mess. I can't put American money on that Washington team.
No, I know, so it's a hard
if you don't have a nickname, then, you know, the potatoes, as I call them, the Redskins. But I can't do it. Can't do it.
Think about this, because I love betting dogs, right? Think about all the dogs this week. Green Bay, okay, you have a solid quarterback, one of the best in the NFL, and Aaron Rodgers. Miami, Carolina, Eagles, Titans, okay, they're catching one now to the Colts. Houston, Jets, Steelers, Bears, Jacksonville, New England, Washington, and the Saints. And then the Sunday night game.
Giants.
In terms of the Vikings, and then obviously the Giants. That's the Monday nighter against Kansas City. I mean, there's some pathetic dogs. I mean, the two dogs right now that I like, Scott, and I'm going to say it, I'm not a buyer of the Saints. I don't like that offense with Jameis there. I'm buying, ready, Jacksonville at +3.5. Right. And I'm buying, believe it or not, I'm buying right here the Detroit Lions because it is the Eagles. Those are the two dogs that I actually feel very good with, along with the Vikings Sunday night.
Wow. Yeah, you try putting that parlay in, my calculator might blow up. I tell you, the other thing you have, look at the prominent teams, all-time great teams, Green Bay Packers, dog, New York Giants, dog, you know, Pittsburgh Steelers, underdog, you know, some of the old Chicago Bears, you know, the monsters of the Midway, underdog, all these great historic teams, all underdogs this week. I won't go there. Though I do think the Lions, you know, they find ways to lose. They don't get blown out of games, so I won't do that. I would go Patriots, and then I would take the Saints at home against Tampa Bay. They beat them twice last year. They may beat them again this year.
Yeah, that was the first. That. Yeah, Tom Brady had no answers in the dome against that defense led by Demario Davis. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. Joe Lisi, Scott Wetzel, right here on the grid. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Wrapping up today's show, the conversation flew by, Scotty. I mean, an hour goes by like forget it with us. I mean, we can sit here for 5 hours. But let's talk about that game briefly. Tampa Bay on the road, -5 against New Orleans. That was the game where Tom Brady got blown out. Remember, it was like, oh, Brady's an old man. He's washed up. The Saints dominated. Kamara was all over the place. Now they're 5-point favorites. Total set at 49.5. I still have to bang the over here because of the dome. Somehow, some way, I think this will be high scoring. I would lean to the Saints at home, but I don't love it because of Jameis.
Yeah, he is not really taken off as much as I thought he would, but maybe they get Michael Thomas back. I don't know. You know, it's funny with Brady, Joe. He had a couple of goals this season, obviously, outside of winning the Super Bowl. One, you know, beat the Patriots. He was able to do that. Two, you know, he got embarrassed last year against the Chicago Bears when he forgot what down it was. He redeemed himself last week. I wonder if three, him losing twice to the Saints in the regular season is another one of those chips on his shoulder. Or does he take the playoff win and say, okay, I've already redeemed myself for that. I want, you know, because whenever I could find an angle that Tom Brady would want to do well in, normally he does. So I'm curious to read some of his quotes this week and get his thoughts on this game. But I'd like the over. I think we'll get some points scored. Over should have hit last week with the Bucs twice. Twice they had first and goal inside the five-yard line, and they came away with 3 points in the fourth quarter. Otherwise, that game would have gone over.
Yeah, and he went for it.
Bruce Arians went for it.
And that was the one time Chicago's defense stepped up. It's amazing. Yeah.
But then they had it again. Then later that quarter, they had it again, first and goal at the one-yard line, and they couldn't score. They had to kick a field goal. I mean, what are the odds twice of the Bucs and Brady not scoring touchdowns inside the five-yard line, first and goal?
That was amazing.
A tough underbeat.
Incredible. Yeah. Well, we're just breaking it down. It's an early week. We still have a lot ahead of us for Scott Wetzel, our great producer, Andrew Torres. We'll be back tomorrow breaking down the full slate. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.